The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, February 23rd through Sunday, March 1st, 2026. The commentary for February was written by Betty McWhorter, an Episcopal priest and third-generation reader of Forward Day by Day, who has served seven churches in five dioceses. She and her husband of 55 years retired to McMinnville, Oregon, where they enjoy their time there with three adult children, their spouses, and four grandchildren. The commentary for Monday, February 23rd, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 13b. And the angels waited on him. Here's the commentary. I am 8 years old. My dad's friend stops by after a trip to Mexico and brings gifts. Mine is a ceramic angel with brown hair and a pink dress dotted with gold. When my dad's friend hands me my gift, he says, "This is your guardian angel. She will watch over you." I believe him lock, stock, and barrel. My angel, she has never had a name, has been with me all my life. In each home we have lived in, she has found her place in our bedroom. I move her to my desk now as I write this. Angels are called messengers of God. Throughout Scripture, we find angels bringing God's word to humans, among them Daniel, Elijah, Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, and now Jesus. Mark's gospel doesn't say that the angels speak. They simply are present. Perhaps their presence is all the words Jesus needs. By their presence, the angels remind Jesus that he is not alone, even in this time of temptation. My angel has never spoken either. It is enough that she is here, reminding me I am never alone. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited for him. And the moving forward question for this Monday, February 23rd, is, have you ever felt that you had a guardian angel watching over you? Maybe it's time you reacquaint yourself with your angel, or introduce yourself. Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, February 24th, the day on which we commemorate St. Matthias the Apostle. It begins with a passage from Acts chapter 1, verse 26b. And the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. The selection of Matthias is interesting in many ways. First, he is chosen by lots, perhaps the tossing of dice. There is no mention of a conversation with him to see if he is willing, or afterward, if he will serve. It is all a done deal. The other person nominated, Joseph, Barsabbas, Justus, simply falls away from the story. It's clear that the apostles recognize that after Judas's treachery and death, they need to replace him. They need 12 faithful people. They pray, call forth two, and leave the rest to chance or God. One Sunday, I witnessed someone being called to serve. It is time for the Eucharistic elements to be brought forward. Only one person, a woman, steps forward. Looking around, she approaches a relative newcomer and a very quiet man and asks, "Will you help?" He replies, "I don't know what to do, but yes, I will help." With the roll of a die, someone is added to the ministry of service. And now I'm going to read this full passage from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 15 through 26. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, together the crowd numbered about 120 persons, and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. This became known to all the residents of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their language Hakeldama, that is, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'Let his homestead become desolate, and let there be no one to live in it, and let another take his position of overseer.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection." So they proposed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, or the statement I should say, is, look around your world. Call on someone whose gifts are needed to share the good news. The commentary for Wednesday, February 25th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 40a. A leper came to him. Mark's passage ends with Jesus and a leper. The leper tests Jesus, saying, "If you choose, you could make me clean." Everyone is watching. His ministry is just beginning. This is not the time to walk away. So Jesus helps the leper. Then Jesus tells the healed man to say nothing about his healing. Understandably, the man is bursting to share the news and proclaims to everyone he meets about his healing at Jesus' hands. The man has the arrogance to throw down the gauntlet as to whether or not Jesus will choose to heal him, and then he completely disregards Jesus' request to keep quiet about the healing. It's helpful for me to remember that Jesus heals the man not because he is taunted into action or has anything to prove, but because he is moved with pity. This gives me hope that no matter my frame of mind, when I ask God for something, God sees me as a beloved child rather than a bratty nuisance. Thank goodness God's forgiveness and mercy endure forever. And now I'm going to read the full passage of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 through 45. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. A leper came to him, begging him, and kneeling, he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely, and to spread the word so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. And the moving forward statement for this Wednesday is, be aware of your attitude the next time you ask God for something. The commentary for Thursday, February 26th, begins with a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9a. "For we are God's servants, working together." Truth be told, I often like working alone. I can set my own schedule and things get done my way. It's less of a hassle sometimes. Yet, aloneness is not what we are created for. Remember, in the very beginning, God says that it is not good for anyone to be alone. We are created to be together in work and play, in the good times and the not so good. Further, on his letter to the Corinthians, St. Paul articulates the importance of community. He writes of one body with many members, each with a gift to offer that enhances the entire body, enabling it to do more than any one person can achieve. There is freedom in this idea. None of us needs to believe that we have to do it all by ourselves. With one another, we can do many things. With God, all things are possible. And now I'm going to read the full passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through chapter 3, verse 15. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, I cannot speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh, and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, the work of each builder will become visible, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each has done. If what has been built on the foundation survives, the builder will receive a reward. If the work is burned up, the builder will suffer loss. The builder will be saved, but only as through fire. And the moving forward question for this Thursday is, what are your two greatest gifts, and how might you share them with your community? The commentary for Friday, February 27th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verse 17a. When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician." When I read this story of the Pharisees questioning Jesus about eating with tax collectors and sinners, I want to jump right into the story and ask Jesus, who in the world is ever well? Are there such people? Am I well? People may look well. I may look well. Yet that is from the outside. Sometimes the inside is not so healthy. We have a she shed in our yard. It looks solidly built. But a few years ago, our 10-year-old granddaughter stepped inside and fell through the flooring. The structure was not well. It looked great from the outside. Even standing in the doorway, it looked solid. Yet it wasn't. Looks can be deceiving. I wonder how Jesus might answer my question. Perhaps he would smile at me and quietly ask, "What do you think? Are you well, or are you in need of the great physician?" He already knows the answer. That's why he came to heal the sick, including me. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. Jesus went out again beside the sea. The whole crowd gathered around him, and he taught them. As he was walking along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were also sitting with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick I have come to call, not the righteous, but the sinners." Now John's disciples and Pharisees were fasting, and people came and said to him, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not?" Jesus said to them, "The wedding guests cannot fast while the bridegroom is with them, can they? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast on that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old cloak. Otherwise, the patch pulls away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear is made. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost. And so are the skins. But one puts new wine into fresh wineskins." And the moving forward question for this Friday is, what part of you needs God's healing? The commentary for Saturday, February 28th, begins with a passage from the book of Genesis in the Old Testament, chapter 41, verse 12b. "He interpreted our dreams to us." I was expected to dream. My mother had a very active dream life, and she expected her children to have the same. Each morning she would ask us at breakfast, "Well, what did you dream last night?" Later she would ask the same of my children. I have always resonated with Joseph and his work with dreams. There was a time in my life when I spent a great deal of time working with dreams and their possible interpretations. One mentor told me, when I asked him what my dream meant, only the dreamer can interpret his or her dreams. For years, I wanted to control my dreams, but I've learned to let go of that desire. Now, when I wake, I acknowledge my dreams and I take comfort in them, and in knowing I am not alone. If I am to learn more from my dream, then I simply wait and go about my day. Further conversations from the great dream giver will come forth. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 through 13. After 2 whole years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile, and there came up out of the Nile 7 sleek and fat cows, and they grazed in the reed grass. Then 7 other cows, ugly and thin, came up out of the Nile after them, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. The ugly and thin cows ate up the 7 sleek and fat cows, and Pharaoh awoke. Then he fell asleep and dreamed a second time. 7 ears of grain, plump and good, were growing on 1 stalk. Then 7 ears, thin and blighted by the east wind, sprouted after them. The thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump and full ears. Pharaoh awoke, and it was a dream. In the morning his spirit was troubled. So he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them to Pharaoh. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, I remember my faults today. Once Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me and the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of the guard. We dreamed on the same night, he and I, each having a dream with its own meaning. A young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. When he told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving us an interpretation to each according to his dream. As he interpreted to us, so it turned out, and I was restored to my office, and the baker was hanged. And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, do you have trouble or confusing dreams? Spend some time in prayer with God, asking for guidance and understanding. Now, as we reach the end of our program and the week, let's turn to the passage for Sunday, March 1st, the second Sunday of Lent. It begins with Psalm 121, verse 4. Beholder, he who keeps watch over Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. In 2005 and 2006, I served with the Young Adult Service Corps of the Episcopal Church in an impoverished neighborhood at the edge of Tegucigalpa, Honduras. I lived with the kids at El Hogar, a foster care home and school. The nights were loud. The tropical sun goes down at 6 p.m. year-round. For a couple of hours, the students laughed and played under bright lights. Even after they went to bed, you could hear car stereos shouting from the neighbors, gunshots, and every night until 1 or 2 a.m. The powerful bass notes from the Pentecostal church's worship service just behind the school. Tegucigalpa was never quiet. When I returned to the United States, I remember being startled by the quiet. I lived in the middle of a vibrant city, but at night the streets were almost silent. I've wondered ever since then about the ways of culture, wealth, and density, and how they influence our appreciation of quiet. Is God always best found in silence? And the moving forward question for this Sunday, March 1st, when for you has quiet been a sign of God's peace? And when has God's peace been found amid a ruckus? And that concludes all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow from our deep connection with you and other beings. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Join me again next week for a new program of readings on Forward Day by Day. Goodbye until next time.